I want you to get out your meat fork and your spiritual steak knife. Because I've been waiting to give this. I ministered, those of you that are leaders, we have about 40 leaders, and we have leaders meetings, just different times, different kind of leaders meetings. And the Lord gave me this, and he told me that the next thing would be to do on a Wednesday night, but I've been waiting, and I was thinking it was next year sometime. And so I kind of woke up with it on my heart, but Pastor Rhonda was going to minister, and I got home from leading noon prayer, and I actually kind of prayed out some of these things, and then I went home to eat lunch, and she's looking at me like, you sure you don't got something? So turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 6. Now the Bible says in Hebrews, you turn to Proverbs, but Hebrews chapter 5, right before chapter 6, where we look at foundational doctrines, it talks about the meat of the Word of God. And it's talking about that meat is basically for grown-ups. Everybody say, I'm a grown-up. Because it's Wednesday night, are y'all grown? And even if you're new in the things of God, just take a few bites at least, all right? But this is meaty, and this will help you. It'll help you understand God and how, because everything with God is not as it appears looking at people. You're like, well, why does this person get away with that, and this person doesn't get away with that, why does this happen this way, and why does this person seem blessed, and yet they're saying the same thing, and they go to the same church, and what's up with that? Does God play favorites? And yet, the Bible says that even about this, it said, we look on the outward appearance, but God looks where? And how many know, I already said when I was exhorting, you can't get away with fooling him. You might think you could fool me. You might think you can fool people around you. But we ought not try to be fooling God. And so this is kind of where I'm going tonight. Everybody say, I'm ready for some meat. Are you? Are you ready? All right, I think you're ready. I mean, leaders, get this. This is your double dose of this. So it's just kind of like in the New Testament when it says, verily, verily. Anytime you see a verily, verily, you better listen up. Because when you get a double truly, truly, or a verily, verily, that means it's real important. So this is real important to the Lord. If I would tell you this, we're going to get there in just a second. If I would tell you this, if I could tell you something that God hated, would you also hate it too? Okay, I need more of you. If God said, I hate this, how would you respond? I hate this too. If God said, I love this, then you would respond to what? Because come on, guys, remember, like when you're dating your girl before you got married, and she would say, I love this, you would say, oh, I love that too, baby. And you really didn't. But with God, don't lie, because you can't lie to God. But with God, though, you really do have to hate what he hates and love what he loves. And if I could tell you what God hates, then you and I could start making sure that we don't have anything to do with it. And if I could tell you that, and then it would awaken you to some things about maybe this is why things happen in people's lives, and so we don't want it happening in our lives. It's not to make you go around judging people or thinking about things like that, but it's just to make you aware. And so this was on my heart, and so we did this in a leaders' meeting. And at this leaders' meeting, I came up with something after every one of these that we signed a piece of paper and said we were going to make sure that this wasn't in our life. So I want you to look at Proverbs 6:16. It says, these six things does the Lord hate, yet seven are abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift running into mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. And so we can do it this way. Let's just do it this way. If we know what God hates, then the opposite of that is what God loves. So God hates a proud look. So what does he love? Well, he loves a humble heart, because really your look comes out of your heart or your attitude. Number two, God despises and hates a lying tongue. So what does he love? He loves integrity and honesty. Number three, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. What does he love? People that protect the innocent. What does he hate? He hates heart that devise wicked schemes. What does he love? A heart that cares oh so much about the plan of God. Five, what does he hate? He hates feet that are swift to run into evil. What does he love? Feet quick to obey him. Six, what does he hate? He hates false witness that speaks lie. What does he love? An envoy that comes with the truth. Number seven, what does he hate? He hates one who sows discord. And what does he love? He loves a sower of peace and unity. So if I know what God loves, that's what I'm going to endeavor to do. So real quick, because this is meaty, I don't know that I'm going to go through all of it and really tear everyone apart. So I'm going to give you, I want your meat fork and your knife ready. And I want you to be thinking about these things because we're going to run through them. And I believe we're going to get through all of them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the first one, because why do I want to do this? Why does the Lord want you to do this? Because if he hates something, I need to be aware of it and hate it too. Because, so number one, a proud look. What is a proud look? Well, it literally means haughty or arrogant eyes. It means someone who would have, just think about this a minute. Who would have thought that God cares whether you roll your eyes at somebody or not? But as a parent, do you love it when your children roll their eyes at you? No. So it's something about that. You know, we teach this, and it's kind of, I don't know how they did the thing, but we teach this. I teach this in my premarital counseling. I know Pastor Rhonda teaches this in her godly families. Communication is this. 7% of communication is actually what you say. And then 38% is your tone of voice. How many of you can say, I love you, or you can say, I love you? How many of you know they communicate two different things? Y'all, we had the worship. That was kind of like happy gas. This is going to be good for you too, amen? Miss Mary gave you a good word. This is good for you. This is what the Lord has for you. And then 55% of your communication with each other is actually body language. And so one of the things that God hates, he's not messing around with this stuff. Six things he hates. Seven, an abomination to him. He really does not like these things. And really what happens with these things, these are things, attitudes, and actions of the heart. Because a lot of these things we're going to look at, they're more buried, and they're more about how you think about people and feel about people and how you act instead of outward things. How many know all sin is bad? How many know adultery is bad? How many know stealing is bad? Amen. Right? And those are bad. And if you don't judge yourself, you will be, the Bible says, sin will be judged. But it seems to me that God will judge these things quicker than other things. In other words, he'll judge sins of the heart or the spirit quicker than he'll judge sins of the flesh. And I remember saying that, and I thought, you know what? I've heard that somewhere before. And so I wasn't going to do it just now, but anybody know who my spiritual father is? His name is Kenneth E. Hagin. And so I was working out, and the Lord had me listen to this, and I wasn't really planning to do it. And then I was thinking about this morning, and so, you know, I play it.
Oriented to the natural. We're so in the natural. And so when we, because of that, when we think of sin, like I said, we think about maybe sins of the flesh. We think about maybe robbing a bank, committing adultery, murder, lying, stealing. We think, oh, isn't that terrible? And it is. But did you know you need to know this? If it's true, you need to know it. And I'll tell you where I found it out. I found out because Jesus told me. In one of the visions, when he appeared to me, he's talking along this line, and he said to me, I'll judge the believer quicker on spiritual sins than I will physical sins. Now, you see, that almost goes blank because your mind goes blank. You don't know what spiritual sins are. Amen. Well, when he said that, it shocked me. But you see, a lot of times you get by for a little while on physical sin, but sooner or later, you'll get judged. God will judge you sooner or later. But he'll judge you quicker on spiritual sins. Now, what do you mean? Well, you see, you could see if somebody, if you happened to be there when he robbed the bank, you saw him. Or you read the story about it. You know he did. You were there maybe, or you know about some fella lying or stealing. You can see that. It registers on your physical senses. But you see, you can't see the attitude of someone's heart. But God can. I said God can. That's what I'm talking about. That's a spiritual sin. See, you can do the right thing on the outside when on the inside, oh brother. Amen. I mean, you can preach a sermon. Beautiful sermon. Get great results. People get saved. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Healed. And thank God for that. But you can have the wrong attitude. You can say, boy, look at me, I did it. Mm-hmm. Are you watching? Listen to me. Your motives can be all wrong. Your motives can be all wrong. Sure, it's right to preach. Sure, it's right to believe God for our finances. Sure, God wants to prosper us. But your main motive can be just to get money.
Yeah. Oh. How I miss him. Anyway, and so we're in the dark. And so when I was thinking about these things, because I was like, Lord, why is this that stuff you hate? Why do you hate this? And that's what came to my heart was these are more spiritual sins. And so God, and really, if you look at all seven of them, I don't know how far we're going to get, but if you look at all seven of them, they are really attributes of the devil himself. Their attributes. And so a proud look. I mean, you know, what is that? A cold shoulder, a rolling of the eyes, a smirk. Because it's talking about a proud look. How many know that God hates pride? Proverbs 16:18 says what? Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Everybody say, I don't want no pride. No pride. No pride, right? Proverbs 29:23, it says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. 1 Peter 5:5, listen to this. This is New Covenant. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God himself resists the proud. So if he resists the proud, he resists those with a proud look. The Bible says he hates it. Why does he hate pride so much? Because it's the original sin. And pride is of the heart, and it doesn't always show up in how people talk or what they act. But just like, you know, later on he was talking about how we could have just gone on. I could have just sat there and listened to Dad, actually. But the truth is, I'm supposed to be preaching instead of him and right now. And so, but he said it's like the little boy who gets in trouble, and the teacher says, sit in the chair. No, or go stand in the corner. That's what it was. Go stand in the corner. And the little boy, you know, he on the inside, he's saying, you know, I may be standing in the corner, but really on the inside, I'm sitting in my chair. In other words, I'll do it on the outside, but on the inside, I feel a certain way. And those are the attitudes of the heart that God hates. He hates that. He hates it. And not everybody can see it because the little boy could be standing in the corner smiling, act like he's obeying, but on the inside, he's rebellious. And God hates that. I always say God hates that. And since God hates it, what do? I hate it. And so what are we supposed to do? The Bible says in James 4, it says to humble yourself. So what's the opposite of pride? Humility. What does humility say? Humility doesn't mean you're a worm. Humility says, Lord, I can't do anything without you. Humility says, I am so dependent on you, I can't do anything without you. I know who I am. I know I need you in every area of my life. So if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, then what can you do? Resist the devil. And one of the things you and I are going to have to resist is make sure we resist pride. Amen? Number two, the thing that God hates is a lying tongue. He hates a lying tongue. What do we know about that? John 8:44. Who's the father of all lies? Who's the father of all lies? The devil himself. Why do you think God hates lies? Because all lies originate from the father of lies, who is the devil. And so you and I have no part in lying. Amen? I know in church they teach you how to lie. And maybe some of them do. But, you know, even in school, they teach acceptable lying. There is no time acceptable to God to lie. Why? He hates it. I will not lie. I'm not going to lie. Well, you don't want to hurt everybody's feelings. Then don't ask me something that's going to hurt your feelings. Because I'm not going to lie. You're not going to lie. Don't teach your children to lie. Don't you lie. I'm not telling you, teach them to be mean. I walk up to somebody, you know, tell everybody, you know, we can't lie when someone asks us, does this look good on me? Don't walk up, you know, you don't have to walk up to church and say, my daddy told me not to lie. That looks bad. I mean, no, I'm not saying that, but we're not gonna lie about stuff. Everybody say, I will not lie. I will not. All right. So what does lying do? It destroys the character of people. Some people use lying to flatter people so they can gain position. What else happens when people lie is they're not telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Sometimes when people lie is they withhold just enough information to twist what they're saying. So a favorable outcome will come for them. So we're not only not going to lie, we're not going to exaggerate. Well, I have to exaggerate a little to get this business deal. Well, God hates that. And if you want him in the middle of your business, your exaggerating days are over. Even preachers, we call it evangelistically speaking. No, if 100 people were there, there were hundreds. There was 100. There weren't hundreds. There were 100. Just because you use the same word doesn't make it right. Amen. What does God love? He loves integrity. He loves honesty. All right. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Everybody say, I deal truly. Colossians 3:9. Lie not to one another, put off the old man with his deeds. So we're not lying. What does the Bible say? Lying is a part of the old nature. Come on, say it. I'm not a liar. I don't have anything to do with the father of lies, right? Because the devil is the source of all lying. Amen. And we're in a mess these days when you can't tell who's telling the truth and what the truth really is. And you and I can't be a part of that. Amen. So how many know we're going to be like Father God? Numbers 23:19 says what? God is not a man that he should lie. Are you grateful? How many know? Has he not said it? Will he do it? Has he not spoken it? Will he not make it good? Why do we believe that? Because he's not a man that he should lie. Aren't you glad he's not a liar? He's not an exact. And see, that's the other thing. If you get used to and hang out and you're an exaggerator, you think God's exaggerating. He's not exaggerating. When he says he can do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in you, he means that. He means that. When he says, by my stripes you are healed, he means that. It's not an exaggeration. It's not a hope so, maybe so. He means it. He's not a man that he should lie. So since he's not a man that he should lie, then you and I are not people that should lie because we're born of his spirit. Amen. When you lie, it'll cause something on the inside of you to start doing flip-flops because God hates it. God hates it. I know, you know, I don't do this very often, but one of the things we taught our little girl when she was a little girl was you can do about anything, but don't you ever lie to us. Because if I find you in the middle of a lie, you talk about getting punished. And I trained her that way. We trained her that way, that when she would come to us and when she did something wrong and she told us the whole truth, nothing but the truth, sometimes there was zero punishment. Not always, but sometimes there was zero punishment. Because the truth is, that we wanted to instill that the truth is the best thing you can ever do. Amen. Number three. Let's move right along. You say, yes, let's do that. Hallelujah. Hands that shed innocent blood. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. It says to hate your brother is murder. Hands that shed innocent blood. So how many of you know that when we have an attitude of hate in our heart, God calls it murder? If you can't, the Bible says that if you can't love someone you can see, how can you love someone, talking about God, that you cannot see? Amen. Amen. The Bible is very clear about this. And so 1 John 3:15 says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And then I wrote this down for the leaders because I thought it was the Lord gave it to me. He said, don't be a bully or a spiritual terrorist. Don't be a bully or a, how many know there's a lot going on around about bullying? What is that? A bully is someone who has a physical stature or they have something that they can push you around with. Spiritually, don't be a spiritual bully. Don't use your position. The Bible even talks to pastors. He says, don't lord yourself over the sheep. In other words, don't be a spiritual bully. And so, how many say I'm not a spiritual bully? Amen. Hallelujah. Someone, you know, that anybody ever heard of Judas? What did Judas do? He betrayed Jesus with a kiss. You see, everybody who wants to get up around you and flatter you and act like they're helping you, you gotta have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Amen. Because someone can kiss you on the cheek and betray you. Amen. And what happens when that happens, the deal is this. God hates those who shed innocent blood. So, see, a lot of people think, why do people get away with it? There ain't nobody getting away with nothing. You see, what happens is people don't like this kind of teaching. But there are reasons people can't receive their healing. There are reasons that when someone says, I believe I'm rich, that they're not walking in the blessing of God. And I bring it back to these spiritual things that nobody can see but God alone. But he can't override these, and he will not override these because he hates them. And if we want to grow up, do y'all want to grow up? You wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night. Remember we were all worshiping God just a little bit ago, and Mary's got you believing all things are possible? But I'm here as your pastor to tell you, we got to do these things. I know today in church, everybody wants it light. But if you want to walk with God, you still got to walk in the full counsel of the Word of God. Amen. I know when I go to Chile, they have Coke. It's not called Diet Coke there. It's called Coke Light. But I'm not here to give you Christian light. I'm not here to give you church light. If we're going to drink a Coke, let's get it. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is, I know this isn't fun, but if I understand God hates this, he hates a proud look. If I know that he hates it when someone sheds innocent blood, and I understand that I'm not going to be a part of that. All right, let's move on. Number four, it says the other one is a heart that devises wicked schemes. And so this person is someone... they conspire to hurt people. It's not just physical. But when you study this out, it's like a party spirit. It's like a clique mentality. It's kind of like they all get together. It's like high school all over again. Ugh. And so I hope some of you enjoyed your high school. I didn't. But what the purpose is to exclude someone to the place of hurting them. They intentionally exclude someone. Now, if you're looking at, if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, that's what so-and-so did to me. We're not talking about so-and-so. We're talking about you. Hallelujah. And we're not going to be a part of this. Amen? Because God does what with it? He hates it. He hates it. All right. Oh, hallelujah. Psalms 38:12. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceit all day long. So this is God doesn't want us to be a part of someone's demise. He doesn't want us to be a part of people being excluded. He doesn't want the clique mentality, the party spirit. But what is God's way? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." What? God's all inclusive. He's got a good end for everybody. Amen. Number five, feet that rush into evil. These are people who delight in doing wrong. These people do wrong, especially when authority figures are not present. Also, if you study this out, it's also 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 3:11. This also is, when it talks about feet that rush into evil, it brings the context to it in modern English of busybodies. You know, it's like, so let's leave, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not all, but are busybodies. What's a busybody? I got some information that I want to text to you. From text to text, from post to post. Busybodies. What's a busybody? That means you in somebody's business that you ought not be in. Because you don't know the whole truth. You don't know the whole truth. Well, everything on Google's the truth. Everything on Facebook, it's Facebook true. Give me a stinking break. If you don't know it, if you've not heard it from the source, then you are propagating rumors. And God hates it. We were just worshiping a little while ago, weren't we? If God hates this, though, I've got to hate this. I got to hate this. So I'm not going to be a busybody. 1 Timothy 5:13. They wander from house to house. They're idle, wandering from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers, busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I'm not going to tell the whole story. I was thinking of something in the back that made me laugh. I was praying and I started laughing. Laurent was like, what? But I remember when I first came into Charismatic Circles, we used to go to prayer group. And at prayer group, our prayer groups back then were people raised their hand with prayer requests. And I had never been in that before. And then everybody would pray over the prayer request. But the prayer request was always about somebody who wasn't there. And it really always, it was usually not even about their family or their thing. It's like this, hey, let's pray for Sister Sally because I heard Brother Joe was up at the Frontier, which was a bar. Let's pray for Sister. So what was that? Well, that's Christian gossip. And really, about the third prayer meeting, I quit going until I had to work there and then I had to do what they did. And some of them were that, I mean, it was just awful. And that's one of the reasons that prayer, that I don't do that because it's Christian God. It's being a busybody. It's being a busybody. Texting a prayer request about something that nobody asked you to forward or post in the name of prayer. If it's in the name, you pray. You don't have to share. Praise the Lord. Woo! If we can get this stuff straight, then and we love what God loves and hate what God hates, things will begin to work like popcorn. It'll be like the last 30 seconds of the microwave in popcorn. It'll start popping. God will not supersede what he hates. And it's not, and aren't you glad that he doesn't, that your spirit or how you think on the inside is not a neon sign flashing as you walk by everybody? I got proud looks in here. Oh, lion tongue. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't do that? Aren't you glad he gives you a chance to hear a message like this on Wednesday night? Because you all are here. Aren't you glad to have an inventory to say, well, Lord, I don't want any lying. I'm not going to participate. Whatever you hate is what I hate. Lord, I propose to you that if I got any of that on the inside of you, I ask the Holy Ghost to convict me of that. I'm not going to participate. Hallelujah, because I hate what you hate. I hate what you hate. Amen. a lot of times people get a lot of information, but if you didn't get the information from the source, then you just got to be real careful. We're not going to be busybodies, right? And you know, fellas, women are not the only busybodies, so quit thinking that. Number six, a false witness who breathes out lies. What is a false witness? That means somebody is falsely accused of something they didn't do. Circumstances, you know, it's like that. Hey, let's pray for, let's just use Sally and Joe again. Let's pray for Sally because I heard Joe was up at, I saw Joe's car is up at Jimmy's. You know what goes on at Jimmy's, don't you? I saw his car up at Jimmy's. Lord, let's pray for Sally. Pray for Sally. And then if you had just asked Sally instead of just praying for her and bringing it up, she'd have said, well, yeah, you know, Jimmy's a sheetrocker, and it got kind of wild up there the other night, and they hired him to fix it during the day while nobody's there. So, yes, his car was there. And? But how do you know Jimmy and Sally could be at divorce court by the time it got around Facebook? And then who's responsible? Be careful what you share. So falsely, or even like falsely describing the actions of someone that implies they're guilty. Proverbs 12:17 says, "He that speak truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness is deceit." Proverbs 25:18, New Living. Proverbs 25:18, New Living. Telling lies about others is as harmful as is hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. And I would say, listening to lies and let it go on makes you just as guilty as the liar. Because when someone starts telling you stuff that they don't know nothing about, you and I need to make sure. All right. Proverbs 10:18. He that hides hatred with lying lips, and he that utters a slander is a fool. Psalms 101:5. Whoso privately slanders his neighbor, whoso privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that has a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. What's that God saying? It's like, I'm not gonna put up with you slandering your neighbor. I'm not gonna put up with it. So we're not gonna do that. Listen, when it comes to some of this stuff, how many of you know that you have that one friend who won't tell anybody? Everybody's got one, right? You got a friend who you can tell anything to who won't tell. I wouldn't believe that if I were you. Because they also have one friend who they know that won't tell either. Pastor Ron and I tell this story. There was a church starting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it was a big secret. And we had done some things for this ministry, and we knew a lot of the leadership there. And this was a big secret, a big secret, a big secret. No, they were sworn to secrecy. This was a meeting just for them, and they were all told, these ministers of the gospel who were well known, you cannot tell anybody, don't you tell a soul. But all of them had one friend, and we happened to be three of their one's friends who would not tell. What did I know about them when they were done telling me that? That they cannot be trusted. Ministers. Everybody's got one person. Now, people tell me this all the time. You know, they want to tell me something. They say, you can't tell anybody. Well, you can't ever tell me something that I can't tell my wife. Because we're one. And we are a bank because we didn't tell anybody because of what we do. You know, now I'm not like this. There was a pastor that is part of our group, and he hates counseling. He just hates counseling people. And so he gets up from his pulpit, especially when some new folks are coming in. He's like, you know what, y'all? I cannot keep a secret. He said, I just can't. He said, so anytime you come in and tell me something, you just need to know that I can't keep a secret. And so he meant it. And so that's terrible. Well, I think he's since retired. But he had zero counseling. He had zero. I admire him. He had zero counseling. How many of you know when someone tells you something not to share, even if you're the one person? Because I've had people say, well, somebody told me this, but you can't tell anybody. What do I tell you? I always say, well, then don't tell me. Because I'm going to help you out. And you need to get good at helping people out. Because if they've been told something that they're swore to secrecy on, you need to not get them help get them in sin. And because that's what this is. And what does God do? He hates it. He hates it. And hate's a strong word. And you'll look throughout the Bible and you're not going to find this verbiage very often. You're not going to find this verbiage. So God's serious about this. And it may not have been what you thought it was that God is so serious about, because these things, I look at these as spiritual things, what Brother Hagin was talking about, because these things are in the heart. Even though he mentioned the word lie, because you can tell, you catch someone in a lie, but really a lot of times you can't catch somebody in a lie. They're saying things, and it's hidden. But so everybody's aware now that we all have that one person who we trust that can't tell. But they've also got that one person. Come on, you all played that game, right? Where you start something at one end, and everybody tells, and by the time you get to the other end, it's like something you can't even. It wasn't even close. Well, that's a game, but this is real life. And what can be a harmless, what you think, telling of something that's a little, but by the time it gets to the 13th, 14th, 15th person, it could be really messy and could ruin somebody's life. So you have to be careful. And so we're not going to be a part of it. Amen? Yeah, we'll get there. Seven. Well, let me just say this. What's our job? Galatians 6:1 says that he who is spiritual should do what? Restore. But backing that up, how many of you know there's a point? Pastor Rhonda does this really strong here. When it comes to, we try to do things proper, like with our children. We do the duty to report. We do the guardian class where she teaches people how to protect themselves and protect the children. So I wanted to say that I'm not talking about letting things go where people are hurting other people, but I will say this. God wants us not to get everybody sent out there. How many of you know, remember when Noah, after they got off the boat, remember when the grapes began to grow and they made wine? Well, something was different with this wine. Because this wine made Noah a little, he was the life of the party or something. And remember, he was naked. And one of his sons did what? Exposed him. And that son got punished by God. The other son did what? Covered him. Covered his nakedness, covered his shame. Now, I'm not saying, and God's not saying, that when someone does something wrong to you, you shouldn't report it. Because we tell people all the time, you can get forgiveness while you're wearing an orange jumpsuit. Are you with me? But also, some of this stuff, though, you don't need to be part of getting it out there for everybody. Because God wants to restore people. Number seven. He who sows discord among the brethren. Seven is an abomination to him. That one's even worse than hate. Does God hate discord? He surely does. He hates discord. Because what does God love? He loves unity. He loves peace. How can you sow discord? Well, listening to and repeating gossip. Really slandering someone, repeating something, even if it's true, but it hurts their reputation, just don't want to be a part of that. Leading others to imagine the worst of people, arousing suspicion in someone. Proverbs 10:12 says this, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers sin. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. Can't read my own writing. Proverbs 17:14, the Amplified says this, the beginning of strife is when the water first trickles from a crack in the dam. Therefore, stop contention before it comes out, becomes worse, and quarreling breaks out. How many know that God loves unity? I want to finish this up. I want you to go back to Proverbs 6. Because this is really the scripture I woke up thinking about today. Proverbs 6. Let's look at Proverbs 6. This is not up. Wesley, you don't have this. But Proverbs 6, 13, Amplified, classic version. Proverbs 6:13. He winks with his eye. He speaks by shuffling or tapping with his feet. He makes signs to mislead and deceive and teaches with his fingers. 14. Willful and contrary in his heart, he devises trouble, vexation, and evil continually. He lets loose discord and sows it. He lets loose discord, and he what? Sows it. It's like that plant, remember? That plant that where someone's offended, and then it becomes a root of bitterness. This is what happens with the root of bitterness. When it springs up, you can't control the seeds anymore. They automatically defile people. That word defile is the same word for rape. And so when you've got bitterness, how many know it behooves all of us to deal with any bitterness we got? And you can't deal with bitterness by cutting it off. Because one day your cutter's not going to be working and it's going to spew out those seeds and it's going to defile people. What do you got to do with the root? You got to grab it and you got to pull it out by the roots. So it says here, he lets loose discord and sows it. Verse 15. Therefore, upon him, see, we don't understand what happens behind the scene or what's going on with people's heart. They look like they're doing all the right thing. They look like they're saying all the right thing. It says, therefore, upon him shall the crushing weight of calamity come suddenly. suddenly shall he be broken, and that without remedy. In other words, because these things are, and then it goes into, there's six things I hate and seven that are detestable, seven that's an abomination. And so you tie these together, and why am I telling you this? Why did the Lord want to tell you this? Why did I tell my leaders this? Because we need to make sure that because of what God's getting ready to do in our midst, what God wants to do in our life, so we're not falsely accusing anybody or participating with anybody who is. We're not lying. We're not shedding innocent blood. You say, well, I'm not doing any of that, Pastor. I'm not doing anything. But making sure that everything is good in our heart. And so what is this? This is just a good checkup. Can I get everybody to say amen, whether you believe it or not? This is just a good checkup. This is just making sure that's not stirring in our hearts. Amen. And so, because we want the opposite. How many of you know what's going on? If we're in unity and one accord, what happens then? Then the blessings of God start flowing. He commands the blessings there. I said, he commands the blessings there. Are you ready to command some blessings in your life? So we're just making sure none of these things are in there, just so we can be in unity. So what are we going to do? We're going to sow peace. We're going to sow unity. Not just in our church, not just in our family, but we're going to sow it in the body of Christ. We're going to sow it in our community. Let's sow it on Facebook. Let's sow unity. Let's sow it. Hallelujah. And when you sow it, you're going to reap it. And guess what? There, the Lord commands his blessing, life evermore. Amen. So we're not going to have sudden destruction. We're going to have what Mary talked about, and we're going to have that suddenly God's throwing out his blessings, God pouring out his blessings, because we're making sure we got everything right on the inside. Amen. Amen. Well, you got three very different sermons tonight. You got three very different things. Put them all together. Run with it. Do something. Hallelujah. And we'll see you Sunday morning, either 9 or 11. God bless you. You're dismissed.